You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Hello, everybody. This is Beat Before A Podcast, and we're at the Podcast Detroit Network. I'm here along with my brothers from another mother.
Nice.
My man, Grim. And I don't know how you want to introduce yourself because you have many names.
Yeah, I'll go by many names around here, but today I'm going to be Black Steel today.
Nice.
I need a nickname, huh?
Yeah.
I'm the only one that's coming in with a government name. But
make up something.
I like my government name, though.
Then use your government name.
Parrish.
All right, then.
or P. Patton or something like that.
There you go. But P. Patton.
But it don't sound badass. Like Grim and Black Steel.
What? It makes you sound like you should be in the CIA.
Nice. I'll take that. I've been getting compliments today. I'm feeling good. My confidence is all time high.
Like Agent Patton, Mr. Patton. Like Mr. Anderson.
You still high?
A little.
That's unfortunate.
It is not. No, I'm good though. I'm good.
But you okay? If we decide to put this out, or anyone hears this, we had a trip to GameStop today.
Oh man!
Which unfortunately, I work for them.
Oh,
that is unfortunate.
It is.
It's unfortunate for you. Unfortunate for everybody who knows.
Unfortunate for everybody else.
Yeah,
it's the greatest.
Yeah.
Yes. Because that trip was very, 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 was quite bountiful for me.
Yeah.
I had a good time.
I seen the Oscar the Grouch pop doll.
And you didn't point it out to me? How did
you? Because how didn't you see it? You looked through all of them before I did.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
I looked through most of them before you.
Oh, don't fall into the pop trap.
Man,
just looking through them is just vicious.
Dude, I
want a Pokemon.
Do they have Pokemon Pops?
I don't think so. Pokemon got their own.
We
thing.
Need to look in. Yeah.
All the Pokemon. Oh, you didn't see that table? All that Pokemon stuff is 20% off.
Oh, wow.
That's why we ain't had no displays.
I'm sorry you missed it. I didn't notice it neither. We might have to go back.
I think it's all week.
Might have to go back.
It's okay. Oh, yeah. Bet.
We might have to make a trip back.
Because I'm a Pokemaniac. I love Pokemon.
Yeah, no.
That's my shit.
That's why I was, if I see some Pokemon stuff, I was put in the back because we do that. We hide stuff.
Okay. Yeah, we might have to make a trip back for Justin's sake. Because when I started playing Pokemon, I started and stopped playing Pokemon all in the same breath.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so serious. I bought my mom bought me Pokemon Red when it first came out, and I played it. Somebody stole it, and I stopped playing it. Ever since then, I stopped playing Pokemon.
Damn.
I didn't play another Pokemon game until I bought my wife a Nintendo DS. And I was playing, I think that was Emerald Green.
Damn.
Yeah. I think that's which one it was. It was the one with the, which one was it where Torterra was one of the starter Pokemon?
Yeah, that's Leaf Green.
That's
not Leaf Green, that's Emerald.
Emerald, okay. That's the one that was the last one I played.
Turtwig.
Yep, Turtwig.
Oh, man.
And I raised her, and the only reason I know that one Pokemon is because that's
girl?
The one I raised. Huh?
You got a girl?
I don't know. I don't have that thing no more. We've been sold that off.
Boo.
Well, in my defense, I bought it for her, and she wasn't playing it, and I was too busy playing other video games at the time.
But Pokemon is something you can pick up and play whenever. That's the greatness about it.
Not for me.
You like to destroy stuff.
I do. I do like to destroy things. I like being insanely overpowered and killing shit in one hit. And you can do that in Pokemon, but not against every Pokemon.
You can against every Pokemon as long as you.
You gotta have certain moves. You gotta strategize. That's too much strategizing for me. Like when I play Metal Gear,
it's not too much strategy. You only get 4 moves.
But let me explain. My Torterra's one, like the one move that killed everything in a single shot was Earthquake. If you were a flying type Pokemon, it was not going to hit you.
Exactly.
I didn't care. I wanted to use I wanted to use Earthquake on everything.
Damn, you really want to be OP?
Exactly.
Damn.
Exactly. I want to be OP in everything that I play. I can't help it.
Yeah, that's why you do some okay. video games.
Yeah,
that's why you. I was like, you should be bored killing.
You sound like one of them people that go into other people's Minecraft worlds and set TNT and shit and just blow it up.
I might, if I play Minecraft, I might do that.
If I get Minecraft, I'm going to do that.
See,
you spent 2,000 hours creating this universe. What's this TNT gonna do? Everything gone.
I didn't know you could do that. I would do that too, in a heartbeat. I would build a universe just so I can blow it up.
Nah, I'm just gonna blow up other people's stuff. It's way more fun.
Well, see, like that's why I play Skyrim, because that's what I do. I go around and I just terrorize. These towns. I turn into my werewolf and I terrorize these towns. Like I just destroy everything in it. But that's when I'm like insanely bored though. I gotta be really, really bored for that.
I'm old fashioned. I just get Grand Theft Auto and run them up.
Nope, because I can stay alive too long.
See, you got
even without a code. I don't need no code.
Yeah, I can stay alive a long time.
Stay alive a long time.
Yeah, the codes is cheating. That's not fun. That's just leaving stress or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's for kids.
Yeah, it is.
Codes are for kids.
Codes are for kids, unless it's a retro game.
That is
unless
true.
Unless it's fucking Contra.
Oh, yeah, Contra. Because there's only one code for that game, and it's what, 99 lives or something like that?
30?
That's not even enough.
It's not. We played Contra. You seen us play? We didn't beat that game.
No.
We got far.
But 30 lives ain't going to get you nowhere, and then y'all got to share them?
You can. Like, if someone dies, you can take
a life from somebody else, but y'all each get 10.
Games don't do that no more. Actually, games shouldn't do that no more. It'd be cool to see a newer game apply that feature.
I would like it.
But what,
it
shouldn't lives?
Be so, yeah, but it shouldn't
sharing
be so
lives,
hard.
But, like...
Well, you got to think about this, too. When they don't have games that they don't have games that operate like that anymore.
Yeah, they don't have games really that hard.
Like, yeah, you know, co-op games like Call of Duty and stuff like that, they don't even do stuff. They don't, you know, once you die and you respawn, yeah. you don't get a lot of amount of lives. You just die and respawn.
Yeah.
Yeah. Someone have to create a Contra successor.
Didn't they make a Contra game for like the PlayStation 2?
Yeah, they did. They made a Contra recently, but yeah. It's not Contra.
It's like
because it's like
it's more like Metal Slug.
Ah, I see.
Like the last Contra I played was pretty good. What was that? Scattered Soldiers? That was a little while ago.
I haven't played a Contra game since Nintendo.
That was the last Contra that was considered like a AAA title. But it was good, and they just didn't follow up. But again, the gamer is different now.
Right.
You know, people don't want to die all the time.
Right.
For real.
Yeah. And I kind of get that, you know, because I remember as a kid, you keep dying at a certain point.
You get tired.
You stop playing.
Right.
And again, we about to talk about killing consoles. I had to rig my Nintendo. It was a process. And you keep dying. And it's like the process is not even worth it. I'm just going to keep dying.
That's how I felt about Streets of Rage. Because I kept dying. I never finished a single Streets of Rage game because I couldn't get past like level 6.
Oh, you ain't play with me. That's why.
See, that's gotta be it.
Your partner. You ain't have a good partner.
You have a good
My biggest problem was I used to play them by myself. My nephews weren't old enough to play them with me at the time. So I was mostly playing them by myself. That's why I couldn't get past, like, I'll get to like level 6 or 7. That's because I learned the first 5 levels by heart.
Yep. I find a 360. I have Streets of Rage. I just gotta get a 360.
Oh, wow.
We could play. I never beat the third one, but the third one is a lot harder than the first two.
Really?
Yeah, but they made it harder intentionally. You know, they made it challenging. They add a lot more elements to it. You know, like there was things on the boards that can hit you now. You can
get hit by a car.
Yeah, you get hit by cars. You can roll up and down on the plane. And the game is a lot faster. The AI is more aggressive. They actually come after you. So it's still not my favorite, but I'm not mad at it because it's actually challenging.
See, and another thing too is while everybody was playing Streets of Rage, I was, you know, basically a Capcom whore.
He's playing Final Fight.
And I was playing Final Fight. And what's the other dude? Captain Commando. Yeah,
I never played
that. Man, it was great. It was good.
Yeah, that's when Capcom was in their prime, too, in my opinion.
You see the Captain Commando, Captain Falcon, 1 minute melee.
Mm-mm. Oh wait, yeah, I did. Yeah, I did. Yeah, I saw that. Captain Falcon whooped that ass, and it only seemed fair.
Punch the shit out of him.
Yeah, it only seemed fair. I mean, Captain Falcon, he's used to dealing with G-forces on a regular basis. No.
I never thought of that.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, what makes him legitimately a fighter? But I never thought about it.
He can withstand G-forces like it ain't shit. Because the game that he's from is what, F-Zero?
Yeah.
It's a racing game.
I never played past the first one.
Well, even the first one.
But there was no characters in the first one. They were just cars.
Yeah.
But he drove the Blue Falcon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that game, those cars, well, those, they're not cars. They're like little ships.
Ships. Yeah.
They're like little starships. They go G forces.
Yeah, they do go fast as hell.
Mm-hmm.
Damn, you making me want to play it. I got it.
See, but you know that he withstands G forces like it's nothing. You know, it's like, oh, how much does it take? How much thrust does it take for a rocket to get off the ground?
Shit.
I looked at you because I figured you would know.
We both looked at you. Because I don't know the answer to that.
I actually do know the answer to that. It's a...
You can estimate.
It's like 64 with like 36 zeros behind it or some shit like that. Tons of power.
Okay.
Or some shit like...
So that would give you about four to six G's of force. Like gravity force.
Oh shit! So that punch strong as fuck.
Yeah, punch,
that's the best punch of all time.
Exactly.
That's the greatest punch of all time.
The greatest punch of all time. That's why when you play it, where do you think it shoots you off the screen as soon as he pops you with it?
For real.
Yeah.
Every time.
Falcon. Punch. Pow. Then you just go flying through the air. You're not coming back. And if you do come back, you're going to be like just shy of getting back on the board. Like you're going to be doing all your little double jumps and crap. And you're going to be just shy of getting back onto the board because.
I don't think you got it at all.
Yep.
Oh. Game.
Yep. Game over.
I want to play some Smash Bros. It's been a minute since I played.
I want to play a lot of video games.
But that's one fighter I'm not like fluent in, even though it's a simple fighter.
Mm-hmm.
But I play it all day, though. Know?
I tried it. I tried playing it because I never owned a Nintendo 64. Everybody I knew had one, but I never actually owned one. And it was so frustrating.
Yeah. Oh, you missed out on GoldenEye.
I missed out on everything. Oh. I missed out on GoldenEye. Oh. I missed out on, yeah.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah. But the look on your face right now says it all.
We just gotta take time and just play some games.
I missed out on Killer Instinct Gold. I missed out on Perfect Dark.
Actually, I'm late on Perfect Dark myself.
But you know, they were like Perfect Dark was the only game that rivaled 007 GoldenEye.
It was definitely a spiritual successor.
Yeah, there's like that's the only other game that stands next to it. Any other shooter on the 64 was crap compared to those two games.
And they done it well. See, Rare gets on my nerves too.
Really?
Yeah.
I've never been a fan of their games. Like even when they came out with Donkey Kong, when they were the ones that started doing Donkey Kong,
mm-hmm.
I was like, Donkey Kong is an okay game, but it wasn't that deal to me.
Yeah, I didn't really like Donkey Kong either.
Donkey Kong Country.
Y'all didn't like Donkey Kong Country?
Not at all.
Oh man,
Donkey Kong, Diddy Kong.
I think Donkey Kong Country is arguably one of the best games on it SNES.
I will give you that. I'll give you that. I believe it. I won't even argue with you and say that it's not one of the best. But
I give him arguably the best soundtrack too.
Yeah,
big soundtrack.
Yeah, but see, you also comparing it to.
I'm comparing it to every game in that generation.
In that generation, mainly. So that means you got to compare it to Zelda. You got to compare it to
Chrono Trigger,
Super Mario World, Chrono Trigger, Final
mm-hmm.
Fantasy VI.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's
up there.
compared to all of those titles.
Mm-hmm. Castlevania.
I say it's in my opinion, it's last on the list. It's on the list, but it's the last game on that list.
I do give them graphics. They pushed the SNES to its max.
Yeah,
they did.
Yeah, but other games did the same. Other games had other games tried.
Super Metroid.
That's a good one.
Yep.
But yeah, Donkey Kong Country was really nice. I enjoyed Donkey Kong Country.
Yeah, I mean, I played it, I beat it, I finished it. It was good, but
and it's challenging. It was challenging too.
It was.
Yeah.
Not to say that it wasn't a good game. It's just
you're not a fan.
Yeah, I'm not a fan.
Yeah, I'm not a fan either. I came to this conclusion recently. Like, Rare makes some really good games, and what are y'all doing?
And thus why I'm not a fan. You're like, what are you guys doing? You got all of these, you have the chance to make all these really awesome games because you have the, at the very least, you have the rights to them, at the very least.
But they can come up with IP too. They're really good at that.
But they won't. Sorry. This is what it is. What it is.
So is it Fuckware along with Fuck Konami too?
Oh man, don't even get me started on Konami. I'm not giving Konami no more of my money ever in life. I'm done with them. They have irked my nerves for the last time. Like, cause the first thing was they put my boy Kojima through so much trouble. They put him through so much trouble. All he wanted to do was make some awesome video games, and they just said, no, make Metal Gear. And granted, Metal Gear is a great franchise, but you kind of run out of stuff to tell after so long. As far as story mode, as far as the story goes, you run out of, there's nothing left to tell.
I mean, how long he's been doing Metal Gear? I mean,
there's nothing left to do. Like, there's only so many adventures you can make this dude go on. I mean, I'm just saying. And then Metal Gear Solid 5 was the end all of stories. Like, it just went full circle. There's nothing left to tell. He done filled in all the gaps now. You know, well, what was Snake doing before, what was Big Boss doing before Metal Gear Solid 1 came out? Oh, well, this is what you have Phantom Pain for. That's what Phantom Pain is telling you.
Okay.
This is what was going on between Snake Eater and Metal Gear Solid 1. That's it. This is what was going on between there. Well, then, when you get to the end of the game and you find out that the Big Boss that you're playing with isn't actually Big Boss, that he was just he was another soldier in the army that they brainwashed him to make him think that he was Big Boss. So now you're like, well, what was the real Big Boss doing? Well, they kind of explain that too if you play Metal Gear Solid 1. The real Big Boss was getting Foxhound back together. Well, yeah, he was getting Foxhound back together, and that's where Liquid and all of them came about. Because Liquid found out the truth and got all pissy and decided he wanted to say screw everybody else when they thought that Big Boss was dead. Yeah. I mean, it's a lot of backstabbing stuff going on in Metal Gear. A lot.
Military soap opera?
Yeah.
Yep.
It is. That's exactly what it is. It's you know, you the only thing that's missing is that surprise, oh, you're sleeping with my wife. Dun, dun, dun. That's the only thing that's missing. You know? You know, but everything else is it gets unnecessarily complicated, but if you play all the games in the right order, you can answer, you have the answers. And then back when I had my PlayStation 3, there was this thing you could download where it was all of the it was basically all of the missing files of stuff that happened in between games, like stuff that you didn't know. And I actually took 2 weeks to read all of that crap, because it was, none of it was video. It was all it was like you were reading secret files or something like that. And you know, it told you what the real big boss and the fake big boss were doing at the same time, at the time that other things were going on in this universe. Like for let me see. Like during Metal Gear Solid 2, for example, mm-hmm. you know, you're playing as Raiden. Well, what was Snake doing at the time that this was going down? Well, Snake was, he was there. You saw him in the game. You know he was there doing whatever. You played with him in the beginning of the game during the tanker incident, so you know what he was doing there. What you don't know is what took him so long to get from the tanker incident to where Raiden was at the time. What they don't tell you is that him and Otacon were getting the location of Outer Haven, which was where the oil tanker, not the tanker, but the oil rig was at that they were on in the first place. Mm-hmm. They didn't know where Mother Base was at. They had to find out. And Raiden didn't know he was on Mother Base. You know what I'm saying? By the time they meet up with Raiden, they already knew Mother Base was there. They just needed a way to get to it. That's what they were using Raiden for. They were using Raiden to open up all the doors to get them to Mother Base. And that's what Snake and Otacon were doing.
Oh.
See? Like, it's a lot of little stupid crap that you don't know about, that you don't know that's going on behind the scenes of Metal Gear, that makes it confusing. But once you figure all of this out, it's not confusing at all. The game itself, once you figure all of this out, you know what order to play the game in. Which is, you start with Snake Eater, mm-hmm. then you play Phantom Pains, then you play Metal Gear Solid 1, then you play Metal Gear Solid 2, then you play Metal Gear Solid 4.
Nothing else. Don't worry about the.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about any other games in the franchise. Damn. I mean, unless you want to play Peace Walker. Peace Walker, if you're going to play that one, then you have to throw that one in between Snake Eater and Metal Gear Solid 5.
Okay.
So you would play Snake Eater, then Peace Walker, then Metal Gear Solid 5. Then after Metal Gear Solid 5, you play Metal Gear Solid 1, 2, and then 4.
That's too much.
Yeah, it is too much.
That's that Star Wars shit.
Ain't it? But that's how Kojima wrote it. And that's why I'm so mad at Konami, because they kind of forced him to write it that way, because they wanted him to keep making Metal Gear games. He was done. He was ready to be done after Metal Gear Solid 2, because Metal Gear Solid 2 wasn't that good. And he knew it.
In comparison to the other Metal Gears, I would say 2 is probably my least favorite, I had to pick.
Yeah, it was. Metal Gear Solid 2 was probably the least favorite for a lot of people. But they made him make it. And then when he did that and he saw how bad it was, he had to make a third one to redeem himself, which Metal Gear Solid 3 Snake Eater was probably the best Metal Gear game that he came out with until he came out with Metal Gear Solid 4.
I never really played 4.
4 is the shit.
4 was really good, but 4's story was complicated as hell for no reason, too.
Yeah, no, because I enjoyed Metal Gear Solid 2.
No, 4 was, but really 4 was just a remake of 1.
No.
Yes.
No. It wasn't just a remake of 1. It was Oh, man. Okay. Metal Gear Solid 4 wasn't just a remake of 1. The only thing that he really took from Metal Gear Solid 1 that made you think it was a remake was the fact that he sent you back to Shadow Moses and the fact that you had to fight. You felt like, well, when fighting the B&B Corps, you felt like you were, because they had the same names. But none of those fights were the same. Like when you fight Raging Raven for the first time, Raging Raven is not chasing you around a deep freezer with a Gatling gun. Raging Raven is flying around in the air with a grenade launcher. Drastic difference.
I got fought in the forest with a grenade launcher.
In the forest? On Metal Gear Solid 4?
Yeah.
Raging Raven, you fought her in that clock tower. And she was flying around with all them other Raven robots. And she had the grenade launcher. Yeah, I remember. You can't tell me about Metal Gear.
Pick up her grenade launcher.
Yeah, but you can't use it. You gotta use Drebin to buy the code for it. And he unlock it for you.
I remember.
Then, because.
Well, who was in the forest then?
You fight in the. When you go back to Shadow Moses, you end up in that field between the two towers. That might be the forest that you're thinking about.
Damn, we go back to Shadow Moses.
Mm-hmm. And that's where you fight. That's where you fight Crying Wolf.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Okay.
And you get that big ass rail gun from her.
Yep.
that rail gun was the shit.
That's what I used to kill geckos.
Mm-hmm. Actually, you could use the 50 cal for the same to do the same thing.
I do. But
you got to shoot him in that head. Sweet spot. Yep, you got to shoot him in the sweet spot.
Right underneath.
Yep.
Or on top. But fuck that. Charge up that real gun. Kill three of y'all at once. Bow!
Damn. Yeah.
Make me want to play Metal Gear now.
Yeah. Metal Gear Solid 4 was complicated. Was only complicated because everybody thought that Big Boss was dead. So at the end of the game, when Big Boss shows up, you're kind of looking crazy, like, who the fuck is this dude? When he's like, oh, well, you know, I'm the original Snake, pretty much. Then it messed up a lot of people when you play Metal Gear Solid 5 Phantom Pain and you see the Snake that you're playing with, the big boss that you're playing against has this big-ass piece of shrapnel sticking out of his brain. Then you go back to Metal Gear Solid 4 and you see this big boss doesn't even have any scars on his face. So you're like, they're not the same person. And they're not. Because there's technically three versions of Big Boss. There was the clone, which was Solidus from Metal Gear Solid 2.
Mm-hmm.
There was the real Big Boss, which was the original Naked Snake from Snake Eater. And then there's the guy that's from Phantom Pains, who they had been parading around as Big Boss while the real Big Boss was getting his Foxhound unit together.
So Snake Eater and Phantom Pain, that's not the same person?
Nope.
I thought that was the same person. I thought that was Naked.
Nope. That's not him. That's the guy from Phantom Pain. He was a medic in the army, or in Snake's military group.
Mm-hmm.
When they helicopter went down, he jumped in the way and he took all of the shrapnel bits that Big Boss would have took. That's how that happened. He got hit in the head with a piece of shrapnel. He had shrapnel bones and teeth all in his body. It was crazy. it was absolutely crazy. They managed to bring him back. They kept him alive. And in a coma, and they was using him as bait.
Mm.
Because the people who blew up the base, they knew were still going to be coming for him.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's a mess. It is a mess.
Yeah, because that ending of Phantom Pain was crazy.
You telling me.
Hmm.
But, you know.
So I'm assuming to answer your question earlier before we was off, when we were offline, Metal Gear probably impacted you the most.
Oh, it did. Yeah. It did.
Yeah. What video game has impacted your life the most?
Metal Gear impacted my life the most. Because it's like I said earlier, it's a soap opera. And it was, you know, when my mom was sitting in her living room watching General Hospital, I was playing Metal Gear. Like, literally. You know, so it was my soap opera. It was my drama. And it was worth it. I spent a lot of money following Metal Gear. I even bought all of the little side games that didn't have anything to do with the main story just to make sure it didn't have anything to do with the main story.
Damn.
Like,
it's too much.
Did you know that in Metal Gear VR Missions, for example, if you ever heard of that?
Fuck no.
It came out for the PlayStation.
Yeah, I heard. I'm familiar. I didn't.
That was not Snake doing those missions either. That was Raiden. You were Raiden playing as Solid Snake.
Wow.
Yeah. Tell you, it's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. The things you find out about these video games when you dig deep enough into the rabbit hole. It's crazy.
Yeah, I've learned that back in the day, Capcom and SNK used to sneak diss each other on their cover art. Between like King of the Fighters and Street Fighter. Like, usually the character that was getting beat on by a particular character was a ripoff of the other company's character. So like they'd take like a SNK character look alike and he's getting cracked by Sagat.
Oh, you know what? Yeah.
That's all in good fun.
You know what? I like that. Now that I really think about it, you remember the character from the SNK from King of Fighters, the Mr. Karate?
Yeah.
He was supposed to have been a ripoff of Dan because Dan was like, Dan was a ripoff of Mr. Karate.
Yeah.
And they made him like super weak.
Yeah.
So what they did in turn was made Mr. Karate like stupid, dumb, strong. Like, he was the strongest character on the game.
And damn.
It was hilarious. Because they fight damn near just alike.
Yeah, his name's Ryo. Yeah, because he just, in my opinion, he is a boring character.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
he was really boring. But he's the most powerful, one of the most powerful characters on the game.
Yeah, you know, like I wouldn't pick him to represent SNK. I would pick Terry Bogard, hands down.
Of course. But Terry is OP.
Oh, yeah, Terry's OP. But, like, you know, you got Ryo, you know, because he has that gi, so... If you play Capcom games and then you jump on the SNK, you're going to make that comparison with Ken and Ryu to him, and he falls flat in my opinion.
Oh yeah, he does, but
he's strong
power wise.
Yeah, but he's strong.
He deals damage. He got good combos, and his normals are really good. So you're like, if you pick Ryu up, he looked like Dan, but he fights like Ryu.
Yeah.
Like, as far as damage-wise.
He beat your ass.
Yeah. He'll put the hands to you quick.
Look, his name is Mr. Karate.
Yep.
I mean.
Yeah.
Enough said.
Yep. There you go.
Get your ass whooped.
And that's the best part.
Boring as hell. Like, yeah. like a Hulk Hogan wrestling match.
Man.
Boring as hell.
But
you appreciate it.
Yeah.
And it's fun, too.
Yep.
You go slow ass punches, Hulk Hogan be throwing.
Oh yeah, but they always land.
They always land.
They always land.
They always land. Cause they better land. Shit.
Well, if they don't,
then you don't really know how fake it is. Oh,
it looks so real.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't. I wouldn't do that job. Oh my God, that's a dangerous job.
You know, I had a friend of mine who wanted to be a pro wrestler, and he watched wrestling so much that he understood exactly how they did the moves to make them look authentic, but they actually didn't hurt you. Mm-hmm. Like, he was the one who showed me how they do the finger four leg lock on stage versus how it's done in the actual, like, if I was gonna actually try to hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
he showed me the two different ways of doing it. It was like, if you do it like this, it don't hurt, see? And I'm sitting there, I'm like, nah. Like, even no matter how much I flex and move around and all that stuff, it doesn't hurt. Now I'm gonna do it like this. I was like, oh my God, oh my God. He was like, you're about to break my leg, bro. I was like, no, I'm not.
That's pandemonium.
But he was the one who showed me, and I was like, I was kind of taken back, because at the time I knew wrestling was fake, but I didn't know it was that fake.
Like, this is it's an act.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I at least figured, you know, the dialogue between wrestlers might have been somewhat real. Like, you know, like, oh, I really don't like this dude, or I really don't like that dude, you know, when we were going to take it to the ring. I was hoping that some of that was real. Like, I knew the fighting wasn't real, but...
Apparently everybody hate Shawn Michaels.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody hates Shawn Michaels.
He's like
super dick.
Yeah.
Well, I see, and a part of me can believe that, because he seems like he's a dick in real life. But even still,
I actually know someone who wrestled for the WWF.
Really?
Mm-hmm. His name's Harlem Destroyer.
Sweet.
Told me all types of stuff. Said King Kong Bundy was the nicest guy in the world.
I have no idea who that is.
Yeah, that's old school.
Yeah, old school. Yeah, he wrestled in the 70s. Yeah. Like, when Bret Hart first came out, mm-hmm. he wrestled Bret Hart.
Okay.
But this was before he was Bret the Hitman Hart.
Oh.
But he did meet some old school guys. He liked Jake the Snake.
Okay.
He met Vince McMahon.
Sweet.
Yeah. Well, of course.
Yeah.
No, anybody in the wrestling world would have had to have shook his hand at least once.
Well, he made it to a level to where he got the Vince McMahon at least.
Right.
I mean, this is before he really took over, but still, he took over for a reason, because he knows what he's doing.
Hmm.
You know, so he was there for the beginning process of that.
That's what's up.
Because he said Vince is a savage.
Oh, I believe it.
Mm-hmm.
He's a businessman.
Mm-hmm. it's some other things he told me about Vince too, but I don't want to repeat it because I don't know.
Oh,
I don't know how reputable his word is, really. Not saying I don't believe him.
Right, but, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That one guy told me that.
But no reason to lie, but I can believe it.
Well, we'll talk about it later.
I'm about to say, no, I want to know.
Right, we'll talk. I'll remember to ask you later.
Look, yeah. The people want to know, because I want to know, and I'm one of the people.
Well, I mean, no, we'll get there.
Maybe next time.
Yeah.
So
I'm gonna research it some more.
Before we spun off into wrestling, we were talking about impacting video games.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure you both of y'all got a really good one.
Yep. Legend of Zelda.
Which one?
Any of them?
He said any of them.
Okay.
You got to use so much logic to get through them puzzles.
True.
It just opened my world up, like, literally. Like, I think about everything now.
That is true. Them puzzles.
I see the puzzle in everything.
Look, wait. What is the one internet meme I keep seeing about Zelda? If you can't pass the water temple, then you must be an idiot.
Yep. But scientifically,
I've dealt with a water temple.
Every water temple in every video game is the hardest shit ever.
Oh, of course. I can honestly say that. I've only played one Zelda game. I take that back. I've played a bunch of Zelda games, but I've only played one all the way through, and that was Twilight Princess. The water temple on that one.
That shit was hard as fuck.
For no reason.
I compare that to Ocarina of Time.
For no reason, because you go through the water temple in that game, and when you finally finish it, you don't really get anything. Like, I mean, you get what you're supposed to get to complete the game, but it's not like you're going in there to find some secret weapon to unlock or some legendary armor. You just going in there to beat the water temple because the water temple happens to be the access point to all the water in the world that you're in.
Hmm.
And if you beat the water temple, then that means this village over here can get water now.
Now the water flows free again.
The water flows free again. Yay. You just saved like five villages.
Hooray. You the savior.
Right. That's it. You not like.
Now here we're going to give you these ice arrows for saving us.
Right. But who cares? Who cares about ice arrows?
Hey. No, I said they don't. But I like that. I do like ice arrows, though.
Okay.
But don't nothing beat the light arrow.
Well, duh, because the light arrow is the best arrow in the game. It kills everything.
With the hero's bow.
Yeah.
Now you're going crazy.
Oh. See, my finances always restricted me from getting every game, and Zelda was one of those experiences I've missed out on.
Yeah, I know that feeling.
Like
everybody knows that feeling.
Yeah, but if I had to pick my game, of course it's Final Fantasy VII.
Oh, I wish I had said that one. Now.
And the only reason I say VII is because it changed me as a gamer. Number one, it got me into RPGs because I remember seeing the commercial for Final Fantasy VII. I think this was the first one they ever had on TV. And, you know, they sell those CG graphics. And I'm like, oh, this is cool. I need this.
Mm-hmm.
Then you go there, you know, finally get the game. I'm like, oh, there's two discs in here. Cool. Open it up. It's three. I was going crazy. What? Then I put it in. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Start playing it. Then I seen text. I said, oh, shit. It's one of these games.
I gotta read.
God damn it, I gotta read. I was like, well, I spent my money on a game, so I'm going to play it. I just didn't read it. And
just play it, though?
I just read the fight scenes, and I would, like, read, like, maybe the ends of conversation so you know where to go next.
Mm-hmm.
But you really don't have to read. But then after a while, you start playing it. I didn't have a memory card.
Damn.
Then yeah. So I ended up playing the scene over and over again. Then I finally got a memory card, and mm-hmm. and then I started reading. I was like, oh, shit, what did he just say?
Yeah.
You know, I read what Barrett said. Shit, I'm like, oh, what did he just say? Hold on.
Mm-hmm.
He's talking mad shit.
Yep.
And
especially when he get mad and then all those little symbols pop up.
Yeah, oh, man. Actually, that blew my mind. Ever since then, I went on a RPG binge after that. Like, I played VII, I played Tactics, I played VIII. And then after playing the game the first time, I actually learned how to play and played it again. Like, I still would go back and play VII at some point in time in my life. Actually, I'm due to play it again. Maybe I'll live stream that.
See, the problem that Final Fantasy VII changed, you know, deeply impacted a lot of people. The only catch 22 that I had with it was what was dealing with that whole materia system. It frustrated me in the beginning at first because I didn't understand how it worked. It took me a whole second playthrough in order to get the materia system understood.
And third, to have a full understanding.
Yeah.
And actually, I haven't even. I'm just getting to a point where I'm really playing with combinations and doing cool stuff.
Yeah.
I'm only a few years in doing that.
See, when I started playing it. I didn't have too many people who played it with me, so I was like, well, no, it was
all right. That's an issue too, because if you're the only one playing it, no one is looking at your stuff and saying, oh, well, look, I found this here, or do this here,
right? So when I did finally get certain people playing with me, they were playing behind me, so I had people stealing my materia combinations and stealing my setups, and they were like, man, you got this to, like, you know, how'd you get this to work? How'd you get this to happen? And I'm like, I just put that junk together. I don't know.
That's the point. You're supposed to play with it.
That's how you do it.
Yeah.
You play with it.
Because I don't know how to do none of that shit still.
I mean, this is also my first time playing it. I get it now. But, like, you know, I've pretty much mastered materia combinations at this point now. As long as you have the materia, I know how to make it work. Like, added effect,
Yeah, those materials I don't really use.
It added effect to your weapon or your armor.
Yeah, so if you go added effect and say like bio, and you got bio mastered,
you turn
poison every time you hit them.
Or they get poison every time they hit you.
Okay, that's a good way to use that material I don't like to use then. Because, I don't like casting spells. I like to attack, usually.
Oh, yeah, definitely. That's off
with certain spells. Certain
you can use it with elemental magic, and then you put it on your armor, and then you'll absorb that.
Yeah. Like, certain level, certain material you use. Like, for example, you got, what was that? Was it Quadra Magic?
Mm-hmm.
Well, a lot of you, if you take Quadra Magic and you put it with Master Materia, all of those spells you can use four times.
Yeah, no.
So it was like if you just did it with the one material, like if you just did it with the one summon, like if you do a Quadra Magic and Knights of the Round, you can use it'll automatically make Knights of the Round happen four times.
Mm-hmm. I don't got that much time.
I'm not about to watch this four times.
I played Knights of the Round and made a sandwich.
That was the whole point.
Toasted so it too.
Damn.
Like I had time to go to Subway.
Can I get some extra napkins?
Right. Last time I beat Sephiroth, I literally rolled up like during Knights of the Round.
See?
Yo.
And had time. And had plenty of time.
Mm-hmm.
Now imagine doing that off Quadra Magic. You sit there. You have enough time to roll up and smoke.
They shouldn't allow you to do that.
No, but they do.
I just use Ultima. It's a good spell to start off with.
Yeah.
Like I don't even equip the Master Magic. Just use Ultima. Once you reach a certain point, you only need with the way I play. I eliminate things, and I just keep really, really powerful materia, and then have some combinations for me to come back to life.
Well,
like that Phoenix,
yeah,
that Phoenix go crazy.
Final attack Phoenix,
yeah. Get a couple final attacks in Phoenix. Attach that with Knights of the Round if I'm serious, because now I come back to life and I hit you, and I hit you hard,
yeah.
And I just made me another sandwich.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's Knights of the Round is what, like a 3.5-4 minute long summon?
I never timed it, but something like that.
Yeah, something
as
like
long
that.
As shit.
Yeah. Like compared to the other ones that like 20 seconds, 40 seconds, a minute.
Mm-hmm.
No, you're taking a whole like 5 minutes of my life that I'm never gonna get back.
And the remake, make it so I can skip through that. That'd be nice.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
You know what? I'm worried they're not even going to put Knights of the Round in the remake. I'm genuinely worried about that.
I'll choke them if they don't put Knights of the Round in there.
Like, I'm about to choke you.
Yeah. That's funny in so many ways.
Yeah. Oh, man.
But yeah, I was genuinely concerned about that. Like, if they not put Knights of the Round in Final Fantasy VII, I'd be really hurt. Cause that's the summon that I literally went through hell and high water to get.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't beat those weapons. I bred gold chocobo.
Exactly. Yep.
And that was an ordeal.
Mm-hmm.
Your first time? That was an ordeal. Actually, yes. It's still an ordeal.
I would be upset if they didn't allow you to breed chocobo in Final Fantasy VII remake.
Yeah, I'd be upset too.
Because that, again, that was something that you went through hell and high water to do, so you can get. There's a lot of stuff.
They need all disc 3 features. Like all the little things, and they need to add more.
No.
Don't add more?
Don't add more. Because they're going to be struggling to put in the stuff that they already about to eliminate.
Okay. Because
think about it.
They probably got to add more depth into what.
Yeah. Because think about it. When you had to go through the whole process of breeding Chocobo, you got to go race them. You got to go catch them and all that stupid junk. Food for them. And got to get the seeds and.
And they're expensive too.
That
it was a huge.
You gotta do that same stuff in 15.
So that if you gotta do it in 15, that means you should be able to do it in 7.
You don't get to breed a different color. You just get to change their color.
No, forget that. You gotta be able to breed for colors because that's the whole point.
Nope.
No, I want my blue one. I want my green one. I want my black one. And I want my gold one. That's it. There's no.
I got a white one, a pink one, and a gold one right now.
What, and do they do anything different?
Nope.
See, every Pokeball forget is the same. Forget that. Nope. Final Fantasy VII Remake, I better have my river chocobo that can cross rivers. I need my green chocobo to cross mountains, and I need my gold one to cross oceans. Now, don't play with me.
They can cross anything you can walk on. See, and then you can level them up, and they jump higher.
Oh, forget that. No.
And run faster.
No. I want to be able to cross oceans with my chicken.
You can cross shallow water.
The gold chocobo does go
anything
in.
You can do. Anything you can use, anything you can go across in a tiny bronco, you can go with the chocobo.
Yeah, the chocobos are legit in 15. Like, chocobo is the best.
Wait,
way
there's
to
a tiny bronco in 15?
No. Yeah, the chocobo.
He's just using a comparison.
Yeah,
a
comparison.
Oh, okay.
No, it's the best way to travel to me, because you got to rent them out.
Yeah.
It's best. I just max them out because you cover a lot more ground.
Really?
Yeah, they're actually really useful.
See, I keep in mind I haven't played Final Fantasy 15 yet.
Yeah, as far as progression, and it did not come up in discussion, and we were at GameStop at all.
No, see,
it's like $30 now too.
At this point in my life, I don't need it. I'll play it eventually.
Okay.
Because
it's good.
It's good.
I'm like everybody else. I'm still waiting on the Final Fantasy VII Remake, and I'm still waiting on Kingdom Hearts 3.
Both next 2018.
Yeah, both of them not coming out till what, next year?
Next year, Christmas-ish.
Yeah.
So
maybe. And Kingdom Hearts, you never know.
Kingdom Hearts, you never
neither
know.
Neither one of them, y'all never know. Because they're going to keep pushing it back.
I wouldn't be surprised.
They keep doing it. They're going to keep on doing it.
Yeah.
Because that's your expectation is what's keeping them alive.
Mm-hmm. Just do it right.
So, Square Enix is about to be on my list, too.
Yep.
They keep on playing with my emotions with this Kingdom Hearts 3 and this Final Fantasy. They gonna end up being on my list too. Especially they gonna be on that list right up under Konami. They keep on playing. They play with my emotions.
I like Konami.
Okay, so yeah, let's pick a video game company to choke.
Well, mine is Konami still. Mine is still Konami until Square Enix gives me a reason. Konami is going to be that company.
I'm thinking about it, because I was about to say I was ready to choke Square Enix, but I'm happy with 15.
Yeah, 15 is nice. I like that.
I like it. Even though I haven't played it yet. I mean, really played it yet. Because, I played a little bit at your house. But, I really like it. That's the only reason I can't be upset about it yet. Like, but that's the same way I feel about Final Fantasy Type-0. I haven't actually played it myself yet. I've seen people play it, and it's good. So Square Enix, I can't put them on the list yet.
Okay.
I ain't seen Type-0.
Yeah, I don't.
It's pretty good.
I ain't played it.
It's pretty good.
I ain't seen a commercial though, so I don't know.
If they get Dissidia over here, they'll be back in my good graces.
If we get Dissidia. If they stop playing, see, again, they play on my emotions. That would be one reason why I would say I would want to choke Square Enix, because we still haven't gotten a new Dissidia yet. And that's been out overseas at this point for I think maybe like a year.
Oh yeah, they need to be choked.
Yeah.
They need to be choked.
But they still coming out with characters for it.
Okay.
Yep.
So my thing is that, are they waiting on them to finish releasing all of their characters before they let us have it?
Nope, because then they're going to do the same thing and just release characters slowly over time. Then I can give you one massive download.
But that, why not? Because that's what they did with the first two. The first one came out, it had what, all of the characters that was on it was on it. The second one came out, all the characters that was going to be on it was on it. Like, Square Enix doesn't come off to me as the type to do a whole lot of DLC, because they know that their fans don't want it.
Hmm.
I think 15 changed that.
15 got a lot of DLC to it?
They don't have a lot.
They have a lot, enough. But it has enough.
See,
and I think they're going to have a little more, too.
See? stop giving us DLC. We don't want it. We want all of our... We pay you for all of our game. We want all of our game.
Actually, in...
Nah. The way they did their DLC is nice.
They created another campaign.
It was just a whole...
Oh, okay.
Like, a character left, and he went off and did his own thing for a while, for a nice little minute. He was just gone.
Mm-hmm.
He come back stronger than anything, with a new weapon, new armor. So... The DLC is what he was doing while he was gone.
Okay. Okay, then. Well, I can respect that to an extent.
Yeah, and that's why
If it's adding to the gameplay factor, I'm down for it. Just like the DLC for Last of Us, added to the gameplay. They added a whole nother chapter to it. I'm with that. Don't give me DLC of just characters or just costumes or... You know, give me something more to actually enjoy,
mm-hmm.
you know, with your DLC. So if Square Enix is staying off my list for that, at least for now. We'll see what happens.
Capcom just got off my list until Resident Evil 7 released.
Yeah.
Because I've been choking Capcom until Resident Evil 7 came out.
See, you've been...
I just released Capcom.
You've been choking Capcom, and Capcom's been running back into my bed. Cause that's my boo. I'm sorry. I love Capcom. They have yet to do me wrong for real, except for what they did with Mega Man. That was the only thing they did that upset me.
That's why I'm still looking at Capcom. What are you going to do about Mega Man?
They're not going to do anything about Mega Man because they're saying screw Mega Man. They got other stuff going on.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
And I'm not mad about that. Mega Man is what 20 something years old at this point.
They got to worry about Akuma.
This guy.
That's what it is. They got to worry about
this guy right here.
They can't worry about no other character right now because he is in foreign ground.
He is.
Mm-hmm.
He is, and he's everywhere now too. He's legitimately becoming the bad guy.
When he was already the bad guy.
I mean, like, he was like the bad guy in fighting games.
But I don't think he's going to be a bad guy in Tekken 7.
Probably not.
I know.
He's going to kill Heihachi.
Heihachi's the bad guy in Tekken 7. Always has been.
Right.
But so if he's there to kill Heihachi, right.
And he's going to kill Heihachi.
He might
kill Jin, too.
I don't know. I really don't know about that one. I don't think Akuma... I technically don't think Akuma's messing with anybody with Devil Jin.
He going to turn into the Oni.
He going to have to.
How he going to kill him. He might kill both of them at once.
Oh, man. You... But see, I'm a Capcom fanatic too, but even I don't think Akuma's capable.
What's that blue shit that he be wearing? The armor they gave him?
And what?
Oh, it's in Tekken 7. You seen when we was playing the Ultimate Marvel?
Mm-hmm.
And the alternate costume for Akuma?
Oh, that's you talking about that Cyber Akuma stuff?
Yeah.
Nah, that's from X-Men versus Street Fighter.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
With the wings?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, because Apocalypse got his hands on him and did experiments on him in that storyline.
Oh.
So that's how that came about.
Okay, because it looked like that arm. Well, he got that armor in Tekken 7, too.
I believe it.
I'm glad you came. I'm glad you said that point, because now we got to get the fuck up out of here, gentlemen. But it's been very real. This is awesome.
Oh, yeah.
It's been real. We have to do this again.
We will.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, whoever the hell is listening, ain't nobody listening to us right now. But
right now.
But this is the B Before A podcast. This is P Patton, my man Grim.
Yeah, yeah.
And Black Steel here, being nerds. We should figure out what we should do because we still got a little time. I have a little time, so maybe we should get high.
Let's go get high.
Let's do that.
Yep.
All right. See y'all later.
And also, we'd like to thank Jessica. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. That was nice to meet you all.
Oh, yeah, mm-hmm. Definitely.
Mm-hmm. And thanks, Podcast Detroit. Y'all looking out. This is
very good. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Look.
Definitely. Yes, thank y'all.
Mm-hmm. This is wonderful. All right. We out.